DW.
Pumpkin orange is probably the first biggest distinguishing thing that everyone notices right off the bat. So they have these really long, nasty orange, pumpkin orange-ish yellow teeth.
I'm talking with Nick Stevens about nutria, or swamp rats. Imagine a light brown rat the size of a cat with webbed feet and fur. Nick works with Southeastern University of Louisiana and maintains the nutria population in this swamp. We are about an hour north of New Orleans, walking on a one-foot-wide boardwalk that extends about 30 meters into the swamp water.
You see the claw marks on the boardwalk from where they get up? They sit up here and chill because it's, you know, they're out of the water. They can dry off and stuff.
Nick tells me this 800-acre swamp was actually turned into an open-water lake. Nutria, along with other factors, destroyed the trees and the thick top layer of vegetation. When he says he maintains the nutria population, he means he keeps their numbers as low as possible by hunting them. A few summers ago, the population here and across much of the state was dangerously high.
If nutria are present in a habitat like this, in large enough quantities, they will eat. And they will eat it to a point to where it cannot grow back. They've eaten those plants that hold the floating marsh together. So those little critters managed to cause a whole bunch of damage in a very short amount of time.
During this dangerously high nutria phase, one student who had Nick's nutria maintenance job shot 10,000 nutria in one summer. Bob Thomas, a biologist and professor at Tulane, knows some people will hear this type of killing and want to save the animals.
Well, look, anytime you're talking about taking an animal out of existence, there are going to be people who have an adverse reaction to that. And I respect those feelings and those emotions. I don't respect the decision because I see the actual damage that's going on.
Bob describes what's called an eat out.
They would come out at night and literally overnight in an expansive area, cut down all the vegetation and kill it to where it, in many places, it's never come back even today.
One unique problem about nutria eatouts, however, is that they reproduce so rapidly. Nick describes exactly how quickly.
Every 6 weeks, they can have a litter, and the litter can be like up to 8 to 12. And they can get pregnant 12 hours after giving birth. They just produce.
And they aren't native to the area, so they don't have any natural predators. They were brought to the United States from South America in the 19th century by fur farmers. Their velvety underfur was profitable for fur farmers until the fur industry crashed. Then nutria numbers soared. This forced people here to come up with creative ways to control the population. The state created an incentive program for hunters to kill nutria. For each nutria tail you brought in, you would get $5. Chefs have attempted to feature the meat on their menus and encourage people to eat nutria. Pushback is strong, though. Many people are not super enthusiastic about eating a swamp rat.
They just eat vegetation, so they are a clean meat.
This is Liz LeCompte, a hunter in Lockport, Louisiana. We are driving in her Toyota pickup across her family's land. We are about an hour southwest of New Orleans, very close to the edge of Louisiana, where the land becomes Gulf water. Generations of her family hunted nutria for income. Some people sell the teeth as jewelry. A local SWAT team uses nutria as target practice at night. Others try to bring back the market's interest in their soft fur by making vests and hats with it. Lots of creative suggestions to stop the destruction that is impossible to miss.
Used to, you'd come over the Leavelle Bridge, you'd see so much land right there. That was a lot of land and all. And now you cross the bridge, all you see is water, you know? You can see the land disappearing, you know, in a short period of time. The land's gone. No more land.
The Leavelle Bridge is 8 miles long, one of the longest bridges in the world. That once was above Little Lakes is now above open water. Back on her family land, they had their own worries too.
Yeah, we knew it was a problem because on some of the levees, you know, you'd be on a levee with a tractor, you'd hit a big hole or like a little ditch con, and you know, you could tell that the moose make a little trail. You can see where they come up and down and stuff. And we could tell that it was them that was eating it up.
The animals burrowing holes into the levees can be a big problem in this area. The levees are like man-made fences of land to try and protect the people from storms and flooding. They are so vulnerable to floods in this area. The few barriers they still have really need to be protected. I talked with Nick about Nutrie contributing to the Adage in Louisiana that we lose a football field size of land every 15 minutes.
Now we've lost so much and we've lost all the fragile parts already that it's kind of slowed down a little bit. That now we're losing about a football field every hour. And that's not that we're doing better. It's that literally now we're starting to eat land that is people's homes and just swamp. It's not marsh anymore. We've lost the marsh. We've lost the barrier islands, the protection.
Nutria, unfortunately, are not the biggest or sole contributors to land loss in Louisiana. Dredging from the oil and gas industry has contributed significant destruction. Climate change brings more destructive storms. The construction of levees prevents soil deposition in marshes. The list of factors is not short. The fight to save Louisiana's land continues, but hopefully these watchful eyes and hands can prevent the Nutria from completely feasting on the land until it disappears. For DW, I'm Mara Laser in Louisiana.
DW.